Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Listen to the Raheem and Harris Show with Mark Grody on the Odyssey and iHeartRadio apps.
Hey guys, check out this meatball machine.
Yes! I was so excited for this. We do this after every Bears game, and sometimes just because let's face it, that's kind of how technology works. You learn how to fold it in, and then the next thing you know, the internet's a series of tubes. This is Raheem and Harris on 670 The Score with Mark Grody, and we ask for you to leave a voicemail on our Odyssey app. You can do it anytime. You can vent about anything. I don't care. Neither does the meatball machine, but our producers, they do. So they put together the best of your reactions. We bring you the first meatball machine of the new Bears season.
Fake Bears are the ones who showed up to start the game, and then the real Bears showed up before the game ended. Another long season.
So sad.
Fake Bears and real Bears.
Like, that's so sad. His tone, he was genuine about that, too. Like, he felt like he got okie-doked. We all got okie-doked, let's be honest.
That kind of sounded like, too, he was like, he couldn't sleep. Like, he's laying in bed, and he's like, screw it, I'm calling this meatball machine.
That's what we want.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
Okay, go on.
Hello there from all the way down in Atlanta, where we're not going to talk about the other thing that happened tonight. But hey, you know, at least now we know that it wasn't the coach, it wasn't the quarterback, it wasn't the defensive coordinator, the offensive coordinator, the tides, the moon, the sun, or the stars. It's just the Bears. We're cursed. We're doomed. It's always ever going to be this way because, f*** it. But hey, I got tickets to go see the Cubs tomorrow, and I'm going to watch them probably get shut out again. But hey, score one run again. But hey, you know.
Wrigley.
Fun.
They could win, though. It's Cade Horton on the mound.
Oh, wait. It's Atlanta. Sorry.
We said the same thing about Shohei Imanaga, remember?
Quality start. Right?
Yeah.
Quality start.
Here we go.
No, that was going around.
Next meatball.
Okay.
Hi, I'm just really frustrated with this Bears loss because I wish they would, like, especially win because it was Monday Night Football. Could the coaching staff somehow get the team ready to win when it's a nationally televised game?
Sorry. I told her not to call.
I'll give some context. I was Donna at 3:30 in the morning. So
Donna at 3:30 was bringing the heat.
Year in, year out, it's the same thing. Over and over again. There is a virus in this organization somewhere. I don't know where it is, but there's something. It's not fair to the wonderful fans in this city to consistently roll out this garbage. People are worse after they walk in the door. I'll start with the strength and conditioning coach. These ridiculous popped up soft tissue injuries, taking some of the best players off the field. It just smells bad. The whole thing stinks. And the fact we got to sit around and go through this charade of garbage over and over again. We got 16 more games to watch this.
That was incredible.
That man's got a set of pipes on him.
I now need to reevaluate every decision I made in my life yesterday because of him.
Was that an XRT jock? He's like, there's some Foo Fighters for you.
Here's the world.
Sir, I need you to call back again up and tell us who you are because we could use you for some voice work.
Here's some Dishwalla on XRT. Fontaines, D.C.
Great XRT band. Great band.
I love Fontaines.
The latest album is so good.
Dude. Oh, we have come together on a band. Oh, my God. They just keep churning out songs, too.
The song Favorite. Excellent. Yeah.
We got to talk to you about another band later, Groats.
Oh, yeah. Oh, we do. Here's
more
some
meatballs.
Tori Amos.
That was really just a soul-crushing game. I don't know, man. They paid Ben Johnson all this money. He doesn't know how to handle the timeouts. The team looks exactly like every other Bears game. Caleb Williams looked like the worst quarterback of his draft class. I don't know, man. Is it the Bears? Is it just the franchise? Is it just destined to be this way? I'm losing hope here. One game, and I'm shattered.
Just Harvey Danger.
Shattered. Oh,
shattered.
And he's in a wind turbine.
I get it, man. I get it. He's these people are in pain.
Yes.
He sounded like he was on the runway, getting ready to rock out of town. Like, this is it. I am leaving town, boy.
Okay.
I'm out.
More meatballs.
Hey, Caleb Williams, stop thinking about being Superman. You just got your ass beat by Clark Kent. Throw the damn ball.
Oh.
Is J.J. McCarthy Clark Kent in the scenario?
I guess he is.
But Clark Kent becomes... But... More meatballs!
All y'all fell for the same Bears optimism crap like last year and the year before. They're 2 years away from being average at best. They're going to have 4 wins this season, if that.
There's fits in the tantrums.
This is Raheem and Harris on 670 The Score with Mark Grody. There is no fits in the tantrum. Oh.
We're just listening to the meatball machine taking us through our emotions.
Grody has gone full XRT
totally,
DJ
man.
Mode now.
Totally. Here's Depeche Mode.
What part of a quarterback not being able to throw a football through a tire don't you folks understand? And why are you shocked that when 300-pounders are trying to kill him, that he can't throw the ball through the tire then? Answer that.
Here's Hosier.
Is this about the net drill? Was that about the net
100% about the net drill, yeah.
Ah. Who's next on XRT?
Here comes Yes on XRT.
Hey, score host. Did Montez Sweat play last night?
What? Oh, he said score hosts.
Yeah, score hosts.
Because I did not think that at first. I was missing a consonant.
Here's Blur.
Montez Sweat batted a ball down. I saw it with my own eyes on the replay. He batted a ball down.
I just can't believe how shattered the city is. I understand it. It's
Robbie.
Robbie, don't do this. No, don't do this, Robbie.
It's one game.
Robbie,
when I feel like people are like, you guys aren't from here. You don't know anything. Layla's never even seen this city. I feel like half of the time they're attributing your reactions to me.
Yeah, Robbie.
Because I knew it was coming.
So you think they're justified for being this so crushed that they think the season's done?
Robbie, listen to more of them and you tell me. Let's go.
Hey, Meatball Machine, it's the morning after, and just scrolling through some memes, there's one photo. It's Ben Affleck smoking and looking up to the heavens with his eyes closed, just with a I hate my life look on his face, wearing a bear sweater. Very apt. Now, depending on how badly we play against the Lions, we could transition over to a Ben Affleck meme where you actually see his god-awful back tattoo. But maybe somebody will, you know, edit that and put a Bears logo on there, too. But, God, I'm miserable.
There's so many upset, or not even upset, just like frustrated Ben Affleck pictures to choose from.
And you know what he's listening to? The Lumineers.
Well, speaking of songs, this is our last Meatball Machine, and it can't be a Meatball Machine without a song. So, here we go.
When I talked to you last week, I said I was hopeful we could retire this song, but the Bears are gonna bear. The Bears are gonna bear. They snatch defeat from the jaws of victory. The Bears are gonna bear. Oh, I hate what this team has done to me. Yeah. Sorry, guys. Maybe next year? I don't know.
I like the remix. I like the new lyrics. I don't know why I forgot to call for the recorder. Robbie, you don't know about the recorder Bear Down, do you?
Oh, he can find that real
quick. Do you know about...
That was one that was birthed of when I was last hosting in this position on the Midday Show. The Bear Recorder was created by Greg Overtone, our friend who is the guitar teacher.
Oh.
Yeah, Recorder Bears has got to be in the rotation.
There it is.
Ooh. That's where the second quarter came in.
How would you tease that for XRT, Grody?
Florence Radiohead. And the Machine.
I'm pretty sure that was the missed field over. Goal.
The dog did.
Here's the holding penalty.
Over.
That was the hold.
I'm letting it play. Sorry, audience.
No, it's appropriate.
Here comes Black Keys. Okay.
We deserve this as a city.
I don't think I've ever gotten through the whole thing.
Really?
Yeah, but now that I have, yeah, that sounds about right.
Oh no, I could diagram the song by what I saw in the game last night. It was like it started out
like
good.
Each bad point.
That's the first drive. The little squeak at the top is the phantom hold. Then you had like the touchdown to give you some hope. But then you had the kick that we didn't get the 2 minute warning on.
You know what did it for me? The J.J. McCarthy, like, naked bootleg, where it's just like, oh, nobody's going to get him.
Oh. Justin Jefferson's like, oh, I play football. Me and my 30 carats of stones. That chain was amazing.
And your Alabama shakes.
Mark Grody.
I love when you say band names.
Wait, hey, Mark, can I ask you for something?
Yes, you may.
If I were to switch the samples on a meatball machine, how would that sound today?
You switch the samples so you can make Provasic.
Is there a football version of Provasic?
You switch the samples.
Let's see.
It really does.
You switch the offense so you can run the ball.
What about just switch the head coach?
Ooh, well, I'm not. Oh, wait a minute. You want to switch the head coach? There
I
was a man.
Switch the samples.
Unlock me.
We took him out of XRT DJ mode. He's already there.
What are you talking about?
What other radio station can we get out of you?
We got The Cure coming up here in just a little bit. Yeah, that's right.
Speaking
unlock
of
me, unlock me.
You find this man. You find that offense.
Wait, I didn't actually think that was a line from the movie. I just thought it was something you said to add to the character.
Oh no, he's on it.
Unlock me.
Oh my god. Do you know I've been doing that impersonation since the 90s? Isn't that crazy?
Well, that
like this
sounds
is,
right.
This impersonation has lasted over like 5 different radio stations.
It has sustained different
it
decades.
It is. It's the most sustainable movie quotes
that is,
ever.
That is older than the Bears quarterback and also the Vikings quarterback.
Oh my God. Is it older than the Red Hot Chili Peppers?
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
The Raheemy and Harris Show with Mark Grody. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
A little bouncer slowly toward Bryant. He will glove it and throw to Rizzo. It's in time. And the Chicago Cubs win the World Series.
This one goes out to one of the greatest Cubs ever. Bring us a World Series championship. No better guy on the field, no better guy off the field. Anthony Rizzo and his family. If he is retiring, this one's going out. Let's hear Rizzo. Rizzo.
Man, that's how you do it. And yeah, I guess Chris Chelios did know a thing or two at the time, didn't he? When he broke that news to the crowd at Wrigley singing the seventh inning stretch. This is Raheemy and Harris with Mark Grody. On 670, The Score, Mark's over at Hallis Hall. We'll hear from him at about 1:25. But there was a major announcement that happened today when it came to Anthony Rizzo. I think we all knew that at some point it was going to be time officially for him. We saw him appear on Apple TV Plus with Russ Dorsey this past season, but there was never an official retirement announcement until today. Retiring as a Cub, and here's the big part if you want to get your schedule ready, you got to act fast. He's going to be honored this Saturday at Wrigley Field. He'll also become an ambassador for the Cub organization, and of course, now he has officially, I guess, returned to the org and will be honored as such. Now we know Anthony Rizzo played games as a Yankee, famously traded there in that sell-off in 2021, but Not a bad way if you get to play for the Yankees and the Cubs. Anthony Rizzo wearing pinstripes. Of course, we know him here best in the blue and the red.
Anthony Rizzo, honor Saturday. How much are those tickets about to go for as far as if you don't already have them, getting them on the secondhand market? He's going to throw out the first pitch. But what a career for Anthony Rizzo, not just from a Cubs-centric standpoint in that what he meant to this team, but just a baseball career in a vacuum, an 828 OPS over 14 years. That's good stuff right there. 303 career home runs. That's great stuff right there. And a guy who, of course, was an all-star three times in a row and a gold glover four different times.
Also, of course, his work for cancer patients as well. He a cancer survivor himself. And really just what he meant to fans. It's hard to explain, I think, unless you were part of it, how Anthony Rizzo wasn't just the glue. He was the productive glue, as Pat Hughes, you heard there mention, fan favorite, of course, but it's also because of how he produced. You know, Wrigley's not an easy place for lefty hitters to produce. He had 109 career homers at the ballpark and four straight seasons of at least 30 there. And they always seem to come at the best possible times, especially during that championship run. Here we were talking earlier, Marshall, about Ben Johnson's self-awareness. I remember when Anthony Rizzo returned to San Diego because he was part of that trade with the Padres. That's how he ended up with Chicago. And he said, I couldn't hit the broadside of a barn when I was playing for the Padres. Well, he obviously could once he was a Cub. And I just remember thinking, there's not a lot of guys who would be that casual about it. There's not a lot of people who would be that honest about it and talk to us the way he would talk to his friends.
The numbers back him up. He hit 141 as a Padre. And I think because of the success he had after he left San Diego, he can, of course, say what he said the way he said it. But I think the connection that this man had, and I think a lot of it is due to what he did outside the field of play with the fan base, I think that's what sticks out to me the most. I mean, outside of obviously the World Series win, that's like the big piece of this, right?
And he was considered a big piece of that. You know, he is a poster child for Theo Epstein's theory of change of scenery benefits athletes. You know, he of course with John Lester, that acquisition, and John Lackey, so huge for this team to become the juggernaut that it was in 2016. He was on earlier today with Mully and Haw and discussed his decision to make it actually official.
Why now, and what do you envision doing in your role as a team ambassador, Anthony?
You know, it's just coming towards the end of the year. You know, it was just had our baby, Anthony Jr., so been just engulfed in joy in that in the last 3 months. And it's coming down to September. Talk to Mr. Ricketts and Crane, and the Cubs are rolling right now. The team's young, and you know they're scrapping right now. I wouldn't say they're rolling, but it's an exciting time, and you know, to be part of the October run and just obviously playing there. I'm going to be a Cub forever, so the ambassador role is going to be amazing to do moving forward, and I'm excited for it.
And congratulations to Anthony on having his first baby, Anthony Jr.
They say that kids will change you. I don't know. I don't have kids, but my parents have told me how much I changed them, and not just me, but obviously my siblings as well. But like your perspective changes, right? And if you're in the twilight of your Major League Baseball career, right, and you're looking at what can I do going forward, I'll be curious to see how much more broadcasting he does. You said he was on with Russell Dorsey, of course, on MLB Network. Maybe that's a path that he might want to go down a little further.
630, credit to you. This is Rahimi and Harris talking about Anthony Rizzo and his retirement. This is hilarious. This is a callback. Will Kevin, his wiener dog, be in attendance as well? Because there's a question a couple times Bruce would ask Anthony Rizzo just how he was doing, you know, after he was with the Yankees or whatever. And he'd mention Kevin, his dog, but you don't necessarily know it's a dog because his name is Kevin.
Kevin? Yeah, that's not the typical dog name, right?
That's a good callback out of you. That cracks me up. He also discussed what it meant to him specifically to retire as a Cub.
It means everything. And it really starts from when I first got there. The players there, Dempster taking me under his wing, Soriano, Castro, Reed Johnson, Jeff Baker, Kerry Wood. I could go on and on. And then getting to know Ernie Banks, getting to know Billy Williams, seeing all the guys, the past Cubs that would come in, meant so much to me. And I said it all along, but winning the World Series was so much more than just those guys, those 25 guys on the field. It was so many guys who made that happen before us. And now to be able to come back and be one of the Cubs, I guess, greats, to be able to wear the jersey, Ryan Sandberg, who is such a legend in Chicago in his passing, to now, you know, hopefully create another legacy off the field in Chicago will be amazing.
I love the connection to that. Obviously, one of the greatest to ever put on the uniform, period. But a guy who had his second season with the Cubs as their team ambassador, to be connected to that and Ryan Sandberg and his legacy in his mind, you lose one, and now you get Anthony Rizzo to have that role going forward. And I have to imagine he'll be a Cubs Hall of Famer as well.
I assume that as well. You know, we just had that over the weekend, and that was a really fun moment. I think each and every day over the weekend. I was at the game on Friday, and every time they showed Sammy Sosa on the video board, everybody screamed. And he deserves that. And absolutely so does Anthony Rizzo, that's for sure. And Kevin Rizzo.
And Anthony Jr.
Yeah, so shout out to the Rizzo family, including Kevin and now Anthony Jr. Congratulations.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
This hour is sponsored by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Affordable implants, life-changing smiles.
Adam Hoag says...
Adam Hoag, Bears Insider.
What's up, everyone? My name's Adam Hoag. This is the CHGO Bears Podcast.
Host of the Hoag and Johns Podcast.
I've said this a few times. Ben Johnson does not seem like a first-time head coach. It's just like that's not the vibes that we've had with this coaching staff coming in.
Adam Hoag.
Adam Hoagie or Hoag, excuse me. I don't know how to pronounce the last name.
On 670 The Score.
It makes me laugh every time I hear it, but we know his name is actually Adam Hoag. He is half of the Hoag and Johns podcast. It is on CHGO, and he joins us via the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. CircaLasVegas.com is your listening to a Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing and Electric Football Friday. It is presented by your local Ford dealers. Adam Hoag, thanks for joining us. And now we know. We'll play off of Robbie Triano's Open a little bit that, indeed, Ben Johnson did seem a little more like a first-time head coach when we saw what happened on Monday.
Yeah, I still maintain that behind the scenes and in the building, he still comes off as a seasoned guy who's already gotten the command and respect of the players and everything. But yeah, there were moments on Monday night in that first game where, yep, yeah, he did look like a first-time head coach. I thought even in the moment, I didn't mind the challenge because it seemed like the ball was punched out without any type of contact on the player. But when you later hear the rule that, you know, you can't try to take the ball out, any action trying to take the ball out of a player who's down on the ground deems that player down. Maybe that's not a rule that we all should know, but when you are the head coach, when you are one of 32 in the NFL, you should at least have a guy up there that knows that rule and tells you. And evidently, based on what Ben Johnson told us, he was being told don't challenge that, and he went against that. So at least that's how he relayed it to us this week. And if that's how it went down, then yeah, I think that was a good learning lesson for Ben Johnson in his first game. You got to trust those guys.
Yeah, and Adam, I believe that's the thing to be the most optimistic about when you're talking about going from week one to week two, is that there's a learning curve for the head coach who has proven at every level, every stop, and in his resume how smart he is. And so the belief is there that he will be the one, even if his players aren't ready to get where he wants them to be, he will make the adjustments internally to get where he needs to be as an NFL head coach, as you said, one out of 32.
Yeah, I mean, when you have a coach who's willing to point out his own mistakes and, you know, in that case, even offer up something that maybe not the rest of us all knew in the moment, you feel better about that coach's ability to adjust and fix those mistakes. And that's that's who this guy has been since the start. And I probably have said this with you guys even at some point in the summer or maybe even last week. Like, okay, let's see what this looks like though when you start losing games, because that's the ultimate test. That's when you really get to know who these guys are. And I think this week it's just one game, but we've seen a couple of things. I mean, we've seen some honesty. We've seen him protect some of his players, including Caleb Williams at times, depending on what the topic is. But we've also seen him not be afraid to call out Cairo Santos on his performance, but also take accountability for the fact that they, as a coaching staff, they should have elected to just kick the ball out of bounds. So he's put plenty of that accountability on himself too at the same time. So if this is how it continues, I think that puts you in a better position to handle adversity, to handle some losses, to handle some of these problems that we might continue to see here for a little bit at the start of the season.
Adam, do you think that you just brought up a great topic, and that is the coach protecting the player, which happens all over the NFL. We've seen it with many predecessors. But do you think Ben Johnson was protecting the quarterback, Caleb Williams, when he was talking about some of the pre-snap stuff and the play calling, which Ben Johnson said, I got to call better plays to make it better and maybe easier for Caleb Williams?
Yeah, well, and that's, Gordy, I think that's my takeaway is that he's done a little bit of all of it. And what I mean by that is let's look at the delay of games, right? He said one of those was on him, that he had to get the call in faster, so they had to burn a timeout. Then he said the second one was on Caleb because, you know, they put the dish man in motion too late and they had to burn a timeout. Otherwise that would have been a delay game. But then he also said, you know, when it comes to the pre-snap penalties, it's a little bit of all of it.
Right.
But I think as long as a coach, as you're doing all of that, if you're sometimes calling out your players, you're frequently calling out yourself for your own mistakes, and then at times you're also getting a little coach speaky, but it adds more credence to the idea. Yeah, I'm sure that some of these pre-snap issues are everybody. I think a lot of it's Caleb, but I don't think all of those false starts were Caleb. I think there was at least one. Probably the Darnell Wright one, I think, is the one I'm thinking off the top of my head that was just an offensive lineman jumping off sides, and that happens at times. So it is, no one wants to hear, oh, it's a little bit of everything, but sometimes it is. It just gets kind of annoying when that's all the coach says all the time, and he never really gives you specific examples or any type of blame on anyone, including himself. And we've seen too much of that in the past. So that's where Ben Johnson continues to be refreshing.
I agree with that, Adam. This segment with Adam Hogue is brought to you by almostfreeteeth.com. Save on dental implants today. I think what Ben Johnson does a really good job of to that point is he is okay with talking about the stuff that either the league already knows about his offense or what he likes to do or what they know about the Bears. He's not afraid to say, oh, that falls under scheme, when it clearly doesn't. And again, you know, the other team actually has to stop it physically if they want to do so. Like that has been really nice to hear a coach teach, not just his team, but us as well.
Well, right. And I think an example of that would be, you know, DJ Moore in the backfield in training camp, right? Like that could have potentially been something where you're like, hey, that's not on film yet. Everybody needs to be quiet about that. It needs to be some big secret. And instead it was like, yeah, We want to get him some looks at running backs. A running back, we like his skill set. And then sure enough, in the first game, they put him out there for a few carries. And we'll continue to see that evolve. I think that's just Ben having some confidence in what his system is, what he's able to do, what he's already accomplished in this league. Maybe that confidence straddles that line between confidence and cockiness a little bit. But that's okay. I think a lot of football coaches, I think a lot of players straddle that line all the time, and that's why they're successful. So, yeah, sometimes this is a league of paranoia. You guys all know that. Sometimes these coaches get way too paranoid over too many details, and they spend too much time worrying about that they're wasting their energy on that when they should be wasting their energy on just, you know, their opponent or what the game plan should be and all this stuff, instead of worrying so much about what they're hiding. Just move forward full steam ahead. And I, I think that's what Ben Johnson's been, and I hope that's how it continues.
Adam Hoge, the host of the THGO Bears and the Hoge and Johns podcast, joining us on Raheem and Harris with Mark Grody to talk about the Bears and the Lions coming up on Sunday. And looking at that injury report, it's real easy to get distracted by what's going on with the Bears. But to see Taylor Decker, the left tackle, not having practiced all week, do you feel like this is something that Dennis Allen could take advantage of after a strong, well, three-quarter showing in the week one loss?
Yeah, the whispers from Detroit seem to be that Taylor, this is kind of planned for Taylor Decker, and that he'll probably still be a go Sunday. Again, we're talking here on Friday morning, so the final injury report with the injury designations haven't come out yet. We'll obviously continue to monitor that. I'll shift over a little bit more to what I do know, and that is, I think the Bears have a pretty good advantage here on the interior of this offensive line for the Lions. I think, you know, while the Bears beefed up their interior of the offensive line by making a bunch of additions, the Lions are really in the position they're in just because of the subtractions they were forced to make. They lost Kevin Zeitler, went on to Tennessee. Frank Ragnow retires, and now they're even in the summer, they were mixing and matching and trying to try things out. Graham Glasgow ended up moving from left guard to center. Christian Mahogany is now the left guard. Tate Ratledge is a rookie at right guard. So they also, like the Bears, have three new starters when you consider Glasgow moving over a position, but it's for very different reasons. And I thought that coming out last week against the Green Bay Packers, they struggled up front. And even though the Packers didn't have Kenny Clark out there anymore, you couldn't really tell because those linebackers like Edrian Cooper were coming in free, making big plays. I think that's if TJ Edwards can play, I think that'll be big too, because it's not always just about the defensive linemen up front, but how clean those linebackers are running through there. Are they capable of reading their keys and using their eyes to hit the hole hard and make the tackle? Well, if TJ Edwards plays, I think up front, the D-line already has an advantage against those three guys for the Lions in the middle. And that's not something we've been able to say in this matchup in recent years, because that Lions offensive line has been awesome. But they've taken a step back this year. Obviously, Penei Sewell's still out there on the right side. We know that. It's going to be a tough matchup for the edge rushers. But I think on the inside, the Bears have an advantage there that could really make a big difference in this game despite their own issues, because it was glaring on the tape. I watched that Packer game live, and then I went back and watched it, and it just sort of confirmed on the coach's film everything I thought I was watching live on the TV copy, because it wasn't great for that offensive line for the Lions.
Yeah, no doubt about it. This will be 2 weeks in a row where the Bears go up against an offensive line that has an all-new interior. Obviously, Minnesota upgraded their interior, yeah, paid some guys, so it's a little bit different in that case. But, Hoge, I checked you guys out. I like to check you guys out on CHGO. I like to dabble in your post-game show, you and Carm and Braggs, and I know you guys have Johns on as well. You did a good job reacting to what went on special teams and Cairo Santos and some of the coverage issues, like the initial reaction. What now, having listened to Richard Hightower, the explanations that were given, and the errors that occurred, what is your opinion of what can be fixed and what went down and what sounded good and what sounded bad from Richard Hightower?
Yeah, I mean, I think that even just watching the film, the easiest thing on the punt block is to point out just the protection error, right? I think not to sound like a coach all of a sudden, but I think it's a lot of different issues going on there that led to that block punt. I mean, one is just a straight up missing your block. That's never good. You can't have that happen. That's going to usually lead to a block or a close block. But you could sort of see it coming throughout the game. I don't know that any of those reps up front, you're really happy with the protection, because it seemed like the Vikings kept getting closer and closer and closer. And so you have to make adjustments there too as a coach. So that's where then I think some of the coaching comes into it as well. That's the type of thing that you have to be able to make in-game adjustments when you see a punt almost get blocked, or you start to feel the pressure coming. And that could also be just the way in which you call your punts, you know, calling something else to try to get the heat off. There are things you can do to prevent that punt, basically put the Vikings in a return instead of a block. And then I also, you know, I think we need to continue to track with Torrey Taylor. is he getting the kicks off fast enough? Is it the snap? Is he taking too many steps? I don't know that it's really any of those, but these little milliseconds matter, and they all sort of end up adding up to a block. You know, you got to hold that block for half a second longer. The snap needs to be a little bit quicker. The get off on the kick needs to be a little bit quicker. All of these things matter, not only when you're punting the football, but also on field goals. So, yeah, there's just, I think, a lot of small things there that they have to fix across the board, both in their coverage units. I wasn't particularly thrilled with the returns either. I'd like to see Luther Burden, if he's not going to touch the football more on offense, I think he's a weapon they can use on punt return and kick return. Yeah. And I want to see more of that because he got one return opportunity last week and he killed it. He crushed it. Everybody ignored it and forgot about it because it was right before halftime and it didn't matter. But that I would lean into that a little bit more. So I think there's a lot of things across the board in all phases of special teams that can be better this week.
Are you worried about Cairo in general, like the Santos? Like he okay? It was just a bad game for him, or does there need to be serious conversations?
Well, what I'm worried about is that both of those kicks drifted to the right. So even that first field goal, you didn't feel great about it, even though he made it. And so you could sort of see it coming when he actually missed it and the ball was a little bit farther back. So, but I'm a little bit surprised. So yes, to answer your question, I'm a little worried about Cairo. I'm surprised I'm worried about Cairo though, because at no point in training camp was I worried about Cairo.
Right,
I mean, he seemed to be just going about his business and everything was fine. And maybe there was one miss here or there, but it was quickly corrected. There was no sign in camp to me that this was all of a sudden going to be an issue in the regular season. So, look, he's an experienced kicker. I think he can correct whatever it is. And sometimes kicking's a lot like golf. When you have the option on the PATs to switch the hash or move it to the middle, you can do that. You can set up field goals that way in the right moment in a game. So there's just little tweaks you can make to get back on track. But I am slightly worried. We got to make sure that this isn't something that continues on, in week two and week three.
Well, we have some breaking news. Breaking news on the score is brought to you by Wildfire. Join Wildfire Restaurants as they celebrate 30 years of serving delicious food and creating memories. Funny you bring up Cairo, because we just got this in from Jordan Schultz, the Schultz report on X, NFL insider for Yahoo Sports. Former 49ers kicker Jake Moody, according to sources, is signing with the Bears practice squad. Adam?
You know, when I saw that they moved on from him, and he's the former Michigan kicker, if I remember right, he was a third-round pick just a couple years ago. So he was one of these kickers that was pretty hyped up, not unlike Torrey Taylor coming out as a punter. And I saw him, the move on from him, and I'm like, I wonder if they would think about that. Just think about it. Sometimes everybody needs some competition. But Moody's also been sort of all over, he's been through some of his own struggles, obviously. Lance Briggs, who's with us at CSGO, he jokes around all the time about, free agent kickers. Or a punter, like if a punter is strong, that's a free agent punter. Because his point is, if you're a great kicker or a punter, you're never available as a free agent. So you got to keep that in mind here. I'm assuming this is just a little bit of a push to Cairo Santos. I'm not terribly surprised about it because we all saw how annoyed Ben Johnson was after the game. And even on Monday,
I heard you say that on the post game show that you guys did, that you were spot on. Like, it was in his voice. Like, he didn't tear him up, but you could just hear it in his voice.
You could just hear the annoyance, right?
Yes.
You could just like, and I think I also made this point, like, of all the players that you can get annoyed at as a head coach, it's the kicker. It just is. There's just this sort of like meatball-y, dude, just do your job. Come on, just kick the ball. You shouldn't be that hard. You know, whether that's fair or not, it's probably not. It's just for these football coaches, that's just sort of ingrained. It's so easy to get annoyed at the kicker. So, hey, here's some competition. It's interesting.
Adam Hoge, we thank you so much for joining us. And yeah, there's one job there. He's of the Hoge and Johns podcast. You can hear it on CHGO. He does a lot of work for CHGO as well. And Adam's segment is brought to you by Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. For all the right reasons, call 866 four seasons.
Thanks, Adam.
Adam, thank you.
Bye.
Thanks, guys. Have a great weekend.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Mark Grody, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Manon guy? Yeah, I need to call more runs. You know, we probably were at, what, under 20 for called runs for the game. And so I need to call more so that we get him in the game a little bit more. But he that's something that Evie and I have talked about, just making sure he has more carries going forward. Manon guy?
That's Ben Johnson. I don't know who the second Manon guy was. Who was that, Robbie?
Oh, that was just a drop.
Right. Who Manon was guy? It? Oh, that is Ben Johnson. That is also Ben Johnson. This is Rahimi and Harris with Mark Grody on 670 The Score. And the reason we bring up Manon guy is because
Manon guy?
He didn't get a carry in the Bears game against the Lions. And when Ben Johnson said what you just heard about him wanting to call more runs, he needs to be a part of it. It doesn't need to just be DeAndre Swift. As we mentioned in the last segment, when you're talking about what you want to see improve the most, having the complimentary running back scheme that the Lions ran with Sonic and Knuckles, Jahmyr Gibbs, David Montgomery, you want to see that echoed on the other side by the Bears offense. Is it going to be the same? No. Can they at least try? Yes.
They can try. I'm not optimistic about the running game being this windfall of total yardage through the running backs. Maybe with Caleb Williams scrambling for, I don't know, 40, 50 yards. That's like a strong possibility every week, especially if the offensive line and the receivers look like they did last week. But I will say this. Kyle Manon guy got in there. He did get his first NFL catch. I feel like he got acclimated to NFL life. And I know, Mark, what your conversations have been with guys over the course of the season, maybe we forget where they are and expect too much out of rookies, especially ones that didn't practice every single day leading up to game one.
Right, and I wanted to get some perspective with him, and I saw him by his locker. We had a really good talk, and we started with the fact that he did not get any carries in the Monday night game.
Were you surprised that you didn't get any carries in the game?
I think I went into the game not expecting any role in particular. And when I say any role, I mean like I didn't have an expectation of I'm going to get this beforehand or anything. Coming off an injury, just kind of getting back into the swing of things, I was just coming into the game like I'm going to help the team win however, way I can. And however many times I'm on the field, I'm going to try and do the best of what I can. So obviously, as a running back, we love to get the ball. But like I said, I didn't come in with any expectation of an amount of carries or anything, and I was just trying to help the team win anyway.
How do you feel right now in terms of the way your blocking abilities are developing or have developed?
Mm-hmm. I think like anything in every part of my game, I got some work to do. I'm always trying to improve and be better. I think blocking specifically, I think there's obviously places I can improve on because it's something I do take pride in, so it's not putting bad film out there is like something I take personally. So, this is the best of the best, and I got to be able to block the best.
You've been going back to your college days. Is that a trust that you have to earn with the coach and maybe even the quarterback when it comes to blocking?
Yeah. I think both. You hit it on the nail. Like, quarterback and the coaching staff, they got to trust you to be able to put you in positions to do that. And then the quarterback has to trust that you're going to block that guy that's screaming free, trying to take his head off. So the quarterback trusts you. He can be more comfortable on his drive, get the ball out, deliver it where it needs to go. And like I said, the staff trusts you to do it. Then you'll be in more situations to seize that opportunity.
I mean, he sounds like a guy who is, if I can quote myself.
Do it.
Yeah, I said to you guys when we first started doing the show together, I said, I'm right where I'm supposed to be with you guys. It sounds like Kyle Manon guy. That was his attitude. He's right where he's supposed to be. He's healthy. He got out there. He got a little taste. But you could tell he was genuinely not put off by the fact that they didn't give him the ball more. He wants the football, of course. I think he gets it right now.
I think that's a good thing to say to make it make sense for you. But as somebody observing from the outside, I don't necessarily agree with that, especially after the run he got in training camp of how much they talked about him. What's funny is who was the main ball carrier focus given to, I think, against the Chiefs? I feel like it was Britton Brown. You know, so for me, like one of those two, I know that sounds crazy, but I want one of those two if Roshon Johnson isn't available to be part of this in a way that makes it make sense. DeAndre Swift had 17 carries, unfortunately only 3.8 yards per, and that's where I think the issue lies. So how does Kyle Monongai get into the mix in a way that's productive? And I don't he needs to say that because that's the right thing to say for him. But
do you think he's pissed, really, is
no,
what you're saying?
Okay. I want to say I need to see more out of him because I
gotcha.
And it's not him. I'm saying I want to see more plays called for him.
I think the heavy lifting in that interview you did with him is the fact that I'm coming off injury. I think, wasn't that part of the, I'm trying to remember. Isn't that why he didn't play against the Chiefs? Wasn't he hurt?
Yeah.
Yeah, so like, when you say Brenton Brown, yeah, that's right. The next guy up. He's the next guy on the practice squad right now with no Roschon Johnson, who would be up, but I think he's saying exactly the right thing, and I don't think it's from his vantage point, yeah, he is where he's supposed to be at. No, I think from a Ben Johnson and a coaching standpoint and an Eric Bieniemy standpoint, he did what he was supposed to do. He got one target. It'd be different if he had one target, dropped the target. He did everything that he was supposed to do reasonably well, being it was his first NFL game. You could talk about the blocking not being perfect, but what rookie running back is perfect at blocking in NFL game number one? I don't know of any.
I'm not even complaining about his blocking. I didn't see anything glaring about it that stuck out to me from Monday. Did you guys?
No. What I'm saying is I thought he played very well. And again,
This
has nothing to do with Kyle Monongai, the player. It has to do with Ben Johnson and the coaching staff utilizing people.
Rookie seventh rounder. Let's keep that in perspective. You don't just throw a rookie. We need the Bears needed more from their running game. But to think that a rookie seventh rounder who had been injured is just going to come in and just take off and get key carries in a game is probably not being realistic. But that does lead to the conversation of why aren't there better running backs in the building, which we discussed in the first segment. But that's another conversation.
It's a tentacle.
It is a tentacle.
For me, simply, it's that you know you trust, you gave trust at least in your dress rehearsal to another guy, so you've got him capable if you need him, Brenton Brown. It's the, there's an answer between giving him 20 carries and giving him zero. That's my whole point.
Oh, yeah, I mean, that is jarring. I mean, to have zero carries and a receiver gets three carries over the running back. Yes, it's worth pointing out, and that's why we're talking about
it. I'm sure it happens, but I just don't remember games in which only one running back got a carry on a football team.
I would venture to say probably a Matt Nagy game, if we're thinking Bears-wise. Yeah. I would venture to say that, but even then it was still Khalil Herbert and, why can't I think of his name right now?
Montgomery?
No. Cohen, yeah, or it was
Tariq Cohen,
or it was David Montgomery.
What about Thanks?
It was, don't worry about Thanks.
But even that, but like, did one of them get four carries or something the entire game? Like Matt Nagy straight from the running game. I have to look it up, but
no,
I'm just saying like a carry.
Like it's jarring to look at a box score at the end of the game and be like, oh, you were the only running back that got a carry. That's wild.
To your point too about him kind of trying to tell me that, hey man, I was injured, just happy to be here. Sort of what Braxton Jones told me after that last preseason game when I presented it to him that the coaching staff is basically saying nobody is good enough. And I was like, are they trying to push you to motivate you? And he accepted all that, but at the same time he was like, I'm recovering from a pretty nasty injury.
It shapes the context.
He
right?
broke a whole ankle.
Yeah, it shapes the context.
That's the seriousness.
Yes. So
of
he's
that.
Like, I'll play your game. Yes, the coach is doing the right. He's right. Nobody has gone out and won this position. But he's like, I really had a nasty injury.
He's still ramping up, still getting back. And again, I liked what Braxton Jones did on Monday compared to maybe my expectations for what he would do.
This is Raheemy and Harris with Mark Grody on 670 The Score talking about the Bears running back situation. Do we have time to play the cut from DeAndre Swift that you talked to him about? Do you think we do? Guys,
we do.
Producers?
Yep.
Producers vote yes.
I have decided we have time. This was with a group of reporters, and DeAndre Swift was being pretty real about what went wrong with the running game.
For sure. I just feel like we need to play cleaner ball offensively to get more calls in general. You know what I mean? We can't keep shooting ourselves in the foot with pre-snap stuff. We can't expect to win like that.
What's your assessment of maybe what wasn't working with the run game early?
I hats off to them. They did a good job up front doing different things. Flores did a good job up front. That's what I would say. Firstly, first half, it was kind of muddy up front, tried to take what they was giving us, which really wasn't much, you know what I mean? Them type of games, you got to play clean, you know what I mean?
I like the emphasis on what we talked about, which is what, the four pre-snap penalties that led to a total of 127 yards and over the 12 penalties for the game. And he hammered that. He was like, listen, every time you do that, you're taking away an opportunity maybe for us to even be in a running situation, because now the down and distance has changed so dramatically.
And he said that more, I mean, that's 30 seconds of maybe 3 or 4 minutes with DeAndre Swift. He mentioned it a couple more times about the pre-snap stuff. I think he was kind of pissed off about the pre-snap stuff, and that's about as worked up as you're going to get DeAndre Swift.
Yeah, I mean, I get why he said it wasn't acceptable and how it led to not great outcomes. That all makes sense. I, you know, we don't need to repeat that because we know it to be true. It's just what was the next step in making the play work? We talk all the time about how pre-snap is the most crucial part of the entire operation, but that being such a drawback, they still had other plays that didn't have pre-snap penalties. So what happened there?
No doubt. And look, we saw this all of last year. We saw it, like, where's DeAndre Swift? Oh, there's DeAndre Swift. And he would flash and he would pop. And like, again, they know this running back. Ben Johnson knows exactly what he can get out of DeAndre Swift. It's just the rest of the running backs room that needs to compensate.
Well, and I actually think that for as much as we do talk about the front office decisions, he was still the second best running back free agent outside of Saquon Barkley.
Well,
like, no matter how you look at
it. And most people were happy, honestly. No, like, yes. The majority of people who have microphones and typewriters, whatever we want to call those, they were pretty happy.
Keyboard?
What?
Typewriters. Clickety click, 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 the click.
You mean computers?
Printing presses?
I don't know. Computers? I don't know. Yeah, computers.
The telegraph. Whatever, whatever you need. I want to remind people, this Sunday, join the Score in Circa Sports.
There's a baseball game going on at Wrigley Field today, ladies and gentlemen.
At Jared Payton's flagship on the Fox. That's in St. Charles. Olin Krutz, Patrick Manley, Molly. They will host our pregame show there from 9 to noon, then have immediate reaction on the postgame show after Chicago takes on Detroit. The postgame show, that will be streamed exclusively on YouTube and Twitch due to the Cubs game. That's this Sunday on Flagship on the Fox in St. Charles, sponsored by Circa Sports Illinois. Sports betting the way it should be.
Shorty McFadden leading off for the Cubs today.
I love old-timey. I love old-timey Grody.
Yeah, old-timey names like that. Those real names. Shorty McFadden, here's Buster Johnson playing center field today.
Also, we did miss an opportunity to not nickname Matt Boyd Matt Oil Can Boyd.
Oh, boy. Oh, man.
We did.
All right, Daddy Gang.
No.
That, we need to play that more often.
Oil Can Boyd, the lanky reliever for the Boston Red Sox and for the Chicago Cubs.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.